Hello.
And welcome to none other than Nigel.
I am here with the lovely Kathy Sledge. Lovely, unbelievable.
Hi, I'm Kathy Sledge.
Okay, Kathy. A new life, a fresh start, out here on your own. Okay. Moments of clarity after Sister Sledge, lulls, and how you managed to survive them.
Wow. I think we need a coffee time for that. Okay. First of all, everything happens for a reason. And I have a saying that I live by, we plan while God laughs. And, you know, you think you're doing this. You know, I might turn around and go, oh, I think you're going to be doing this, that. And so I have learned that, you know, we're never in the driver's seat, but I've learned to be more patient and to listen. And I've also learned, you know, there's a saying that it's interesting, but when I lost my mother in 2007, I felt her presence just telling me, Kathy, gut means God. And I was like, wow, okay. So when you have that feeling, that visceral feeling, I've learned that a lot of times God's talking to you more than you know. And I've been, of course, been through some roller coasters. And I think that I've learned so much through it that it's in the valleys that we grow. So I'm at a place in my life where I am really just listening more and working hard, but being very wise and discerning.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Experiences of renewed freedom and self-acceptance, good and bad.
There are so many things I've learned about myself. I never knew my voice was special, first of all, growing up. We were always told we were all special. And I think that I honor that. I understand that. But I also understand, that when God gives you a special gift, you have to use it or it will be taken away. And I think in my case, I never felt like it was, and now I'm embracing that gift. So if anything, what I've learned, where I needed to grow, is embracing the gifts that you have, because they are gifts. And I've also gotten to a place in my life where I'm actually working on a book called No Means Next, because that's how I live. If I hear no, I don't get angry, I just go, oh, all right, then I need to be over here, because that's where my energy needs to be.
Right.
And so I think that's what I've learned. Those are some of the adversities that I've learned at this place in my life.
Beautiful, and this is a beautiful gift. Has there ever been a time in your life where you realized your vocal gift, or realized that, oh, I have this raspy sound, and if I clear my throat, it's going to be gone?
Yes.
You know, as a child, you know, I'm coming up, you're like, what? Discovered it.
You know, it's funny. To this day, I know this is going to sound stupid, but it's true. I don't hear the rasp. I mean, I hear it when I talk.
Uh-huh.
When I sing, everyone says that raspy, and I'm like, my voice is raspy. I know it sounds crazy, because it's like your voice. Mm-hmm. It's like someone telling you, you know, Nigel, your voice has this really like raspy tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, because you hear your voice every day, even inside your head. It's like, raspy in my head. It's just your voice. And where I really realized my voice was special is I had a conversation. I don't even know if he remembers this, but it was with Jeffrey Osborne.
Okay.
We were sitting around just like talking, just lightweight talking about a musicianship, and I remember telling him, people say my voice is special. I don't hear it. And then he said it to me. He's like, they tell me that too. I don't hear. I was like, wait a minute, hold it, Jeffrey. Your voice, everybody can recognize your voice. And he said that about me. And I said, yeah, it must be us.
Yeah.
He just can't hear it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he remembers that conversation, but I do. And I learned from it. I walked away saying, we don't know our own. When it comes to something that's so personal to you, it's your voice. You know, you've been talking with it since you've been born.
Yeah, and we on the outside, we hear like, wow, she has this sexy, raspy voice.
And that's what Stevie calls it, sexy fun. He calls it, he was told to give one word description of my voice, and he said, I think he said Sexy sweet. Okay, I'll take that.
Yes, like the good girl. But do you ever get a chance to marvel on in your accomplishments as a recording artist? And what I mean is, what are your feelings today regarding your musical catalog? I mean, do you ever? Well, go ahead.
My musical catalog of other artists that I love to listen to, or
no, your sisters.
Just through the years.
Yeah. Have you ever like sat and just blocked out a day and just took all of the recordings that you ever did and just listened?
Never taken a day out. It's funny, but my music, it would be like on your downtime, people would ask you, well, on your downtime, do you journalism? And you're like, that's the farthest thing I want to do sometimes when I'm on a down. So, but when I do listen to Sledge songs, there's certain songs that I love that I probably will re-record, like Everybody's Friend. I wrote Everybody's Friend.
Okay.
With a gentleman, Fran Lynch, who passed, sadly enough. But songs like that, you know, songs, it's interesting, some of the compositions, Heart, my solo project, Heart, is a song, I Think of You. I love I Think of You. And so when I sometimes listen to some ballads by Sister Sledge, uh-huh. Early Days, How to Love, mm-hmm. Love Fooled Around. Mm-hmm. And with me, it might sound crazy, but instead of listening to a whole album, I might listen to a record over and over and over and over. I'll just, mm-hmm. just keep playing, replay. How to Love is one of those songs. Mm-hmm. Definitely I Think of You from the Heart Project. And You Fooled Around. I love that song, Thinking of You.
Mm-hmm. You know? And then there's Thinking of You and the Sister Sledge Project too.
Yeah.
The different Thinking of You.
There's the Thinking of You from the Sister Sledge Early Days, and then there's I Think of You.
I Think of You.
I Think of You.
I need you to know. Jesus, wish you were here to ease my fears and hold me so close, my dear. I think of you when the light of day breaks.
Hello,
and welcome to none other than Nigel. Buckle up and get ready.
Buckle up and get ready
for a fun-filled podcast dedicated to informative and knowledgeable topics and conversations relevant to music, TV, movies, and books. With your host, none other than Nigel. Listen and learn from industry professionals, entrepreneurs, and multi-award-winning special guests as we delve deep into in-depth discussions ranging from topics relevant to the wonderful world of entertainment, living life on life terms, and simply having fun.
love fooled around, you fooled around. Mm-hmm. And with me, it might sound crazy, but instead of listening to a whole album, I might listen to a record over and over and over and over. I'll just, just keep playing and replaying. How to Love is one of those songs. Mm-hmm.
Song. I can carry on talking all night long, but when it comes to you, I don't know what to do. I guess I never knew how to love. I have to fulfill all of my dreams. My frustrations are bursting at the seams. Sometimes I don't have time when you want to whine and dine, but you are still the one I'm thinking of. I guess I never knew how to love. Just how to love. I guess I never knew how to love. I never knew just how to love. I didn't plan to be a star. Didn't you tell me to be just what you are? You're so important to me. These things I have to be. I guess I never knew how to love. I see why you want to go. I love, but it doesn't show. I am just being myself. Without you, I just don't know what to do.
Spotlight. And it's ironic that you say the early days. I have to remember that was in the 70s. It seems like it was just
I know. I like early days more than old school.
Well, you know, I can just tell you that the production values of those recordings, the Nile Rodgers albums, stands the test of time. You play that stuff, it's like huge, big. I mean, it's beautiful. The strings.
From the strings to the staccato background.
It's important.
To the, you know, Luther underneath. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
It definitely is.
And I remember you telling me about Luther. So, well.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
It's all through that.
I didn't know until you told me. What do you... Okay, we got that. So, I'm going to name a few of my picks. I think we already brushed over this. And I want you, in a few words, to share your feelings, trivia, or facts behind the scenes. How to Love. That you write.
How to Love.
Yes.
Was an education. And I say that because I was 16 when I sang How to Love. And I didn't know what I was thinking about. The only thing I could connect it to was I had a boyfriend that had, I was actually, I was 16. But I was still in high school and he was going off to college. He was 17 or 18. Mm. And we broke up. now we're the best, we're like really good friends. But then, you know, that was the deepest depth of where I could reach to feel those lyrics.
Mm-hmm. You wrote that?
I didn't write it, but to sing them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when Nala Menard would finally give you the lyrics, because they really believed in spontaneity, and we were not allowed to see the songs until it was time to sing it, to record it, I would get those lyrics, and I'd look at them as if they were a script. And that's the advice that I give a lot of new singers now. Take those lyrics, look at them. You're singing about an emotion, and get into the character. You're not just singing words, especially this beautiful love song. I mean, we're not talking, you know, how much I want to hit that. Because those are the love songs now.
Mm-hmm.
But beautiful lyrics, beautiful love songs, I think should evoke beautiful, real deep feelings. And I had to reach for that. How Can I Believe That Somebody Loves Me was another song that I had to really reach for.
Mama used to tell me.
Mama never told me.
Mama
never told me.
That was you.
Yeah. That was our Michael Jackson days.
Yes.
I loved Mama Never Told Me. I thought it was a cute song. But Mama Never Told Me, I was 14 years old.
Wow.
That was way before we were family days.
Your voice was huge.
You know, talk it to me now. Come on. I was like a chipmunk ad-libbing. I would let him with the ad-lib. But I learned from the old school, because, you know, we had been singing in clubs since I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't know, we were doing all the clubs around Philadelphia. We were a very strong local act.
Wow.
And we would entertain till like 2 in the morning, the clubs would close, and go to school the next day.
Hmm.
And I have pictures, there's one that I'm looking for, of me in the dressing room doing my homework. Or, you know, sleep between the shows. I would always sleep.
Wow.
Between the show. That's what I get my little naps in. But anyway, from that, I learned that the true showmanship of, I believe, what entertainers need to experience in order to know exactly what to do.
Yeah. So Brighter Side of Day. Is this a single? Could it be the single? I believe it should be.
I'm taking heed to this advice because people do love Brighter. I call it Brighter. Brighter Side of Day. Of course, they call her Lady Day.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm learning as I every more and more describe what Brighter Side of Day is really about. Because it's, you know, someone described it once as, it's the happy side of Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, does she have a happy side? Mm-hmm. But yes, she did. What people don't know is there are only two major scripts written about Billie Holiday, and both of them landed on my lap. Like, I was awarded the part that was off-Broadway for Lady Day.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the production, one of the producers and the time scheduling, it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a chance to rehearse and audition the script. And the same with the one that's on Broadway now,
mm-hmm.
Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. And I'm very proud of the fact that we're reliving Billy again.
Yeah.
But I always had a passion. I always felt like we know the heavy story. Instead of talking about the depths of the addiction, can we not talk about the depth of the music? And that's what Brighter Side of Day is. I believe in my heart of hearts that Billie Holiday's love is music.
Yes.
And it's prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, she has prevailed. And so how do you want to be remembered? For your heaviest, deepest, darkest times in your life, or for your brightest moments? And that is what Brighter Side of Day is. It's for her brightest moments.
And I had the pleasure of being there last night, and I want to tell you, it was spectacular.
Wow.
I just want to know, you know, where do you go when you channel Billie? I mean, literally my viewer, she channels Billie Holiday.
I know people, it's funny because I never studied Billie. I just feel like at one point I wanted, with the exception of getting the scripts, that's the most I learned about her. But I just feel like people tell me what's the first word that comes to mind when I get into characters, Billie Holiday, and it's hands down, it's strength, strength, strength. This was a strong woman. I think she just lived in the wrong time. And I think, you know, I read one story once about her, and that's all I needed to know. Was a pianist that was accompanying her in the back row of Georgia, you know, she was singing, and the club owner walked up to her while she was singing and told her to shut up and that she stunk like a pig. And it was interesting because she was appearing in this club with this pianist, and he was telling the story, and the proprietor of the club walked up to the stage and told her to shut up and that she stunk like a pig. And the person telling the story said, Billie didn't say a word. She just commenced to find the closest chair and picked it up and hauled it across the room at him. And that's all I needed to know.
Okay.
Because I said that was her way of saying, you will kill me before you call me that. And the person telling the story said, he was wrapping up his music, he got out of there. He didn't even know what happened. But that's all I needed to know. I just said she was over it. She, you know, and so when I get into character as Billie Holiday,
mm-hmm.
she's just here with her music. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a dazed look sometimes. A lot of people, I try not to, I'm not dazed. It's not a heroin daze.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daze of, I am somewhere, and if you want to join me, you can get there. But right now, I am with my music. This is where I go. This is my refuge. And that's what I feel. That's what I would think she would feel. And the parallels, you know, I've never even had marijuana in my life.
Okay.
So, but I do say this. If you really, now I believe in channeling. I don't play with it. But I'm just telling you. Because actually, one of the ghost stories contacted me. And they said, we hear you channel, Billie. And have you seen her? And they wanted me to say, I've seen her in my hallway somewhere. I was like, nor am I trying to see Billie. I know. But I do believe that there are some parallels, especially when I got the script that her father left when she was 3 and mine when I was 4. And her father died in Texas and mine died in Texas. And I didn't realize it, and she died the year I was born. I didn't realize this until I was reading the cold audition, the cold script. But I started seeing parallels and understanding how I can relate. And then there's this singing. I do feel like, you know, I heard, especially when I got the script of Lady Day, the writer told me lots about her because he was a historian and he studied her. And he said, you know, she used to love to laugh at herself a lot. She liked being the brunt of the joke. She would joke around. She would laugh a lot. You know, you'd never know that. And there's a parallel there because I'm, you know,
bubbly.
I was always the jokester in the band. But more than that, it's the musicianship.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have heard that her voice, the tonal quality of the voice, her voice, they'd say it would sound like a clarinet, and I've been told that of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how I can reach inside and get the voice.
you get the voice. Unbelievable. It's like it's not Kathy Sledge singing. I heard it. The whole house went in awe.
That's what I, you know.
I'm serious. It was like you could feel it.
Somebody said to me, when you got up, what just happened?
Yeah, I heard somebody say that. Yeah, what just happened? Yeah, somebody, last night, right? Somebody, 8 o'clock show.
It's funny because my friend who was helping me do the costume changes said she said the feeling of the club was like whoa, what just happened?
What just happened? Yeah, everybody froze. It was like. We couldn't believe it. We're used to.
Now
you guys get to hear me behind the camera, but we're used to Kathy Sledge. You have a signature voice. It's like Shaka has her voice.
Yeah.
But you did something beyond. I mean, you've done something that I haven't heard anybody else do.
Wow.
You went right into Billie Holiday. I was sitting there like, and that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, you know.
And it was effortless. It was like Billie was standing on the stage.
Well, that's what's so crazy because I never, ever studied Billie's voice. I can do her voice. And that's how, I mean, I was 16 and my mom brought home a Billie. That's how I was introduced to Billie Holiday. She brought home a Billie Holiday record and she played it. And I started mimicking her right away.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was blown away. I was 16 and she goes, okay. We're putting that in the act.
Okay.
And since then, I was doing it. But what's crazy is I have been told through the years, like her mannerisms and her, you know, all that. I never studied her. I've never seen her perform. But I can get into the, I can understand her.
Right, right.
The music part of her.
The music part.
That's where the connection is.
And it's a wonderful connection. It's a great, if you thought of this, if you envision this, it's from a higher power. It's perfect.
It is from
it's
a
amazing.
Higher power. And here's what's crazy. I mean, this is just the truth. Whenever we have a production meeting and it concerns Billie, if I have to meet with the guys at the restaurant, we meet a Billie Holiday song comes on, and we joke and we go, oh, she's here.
There she is, yep.
So so many things would happen. Like I got to meet, things are put in my path to help tell the story. Like when I did one production, I had my production manager find only the most gorgeous pictures of Billie. We had one flat screen up in the club.
I saw that, yeah.
But when we usually do, it's like three or four of gorgeous pictures throughout the club. But we can only mount one.
Right, right. At Blues Alley.
Blues Alley. But throughout the club, we normally have them throughout. And I told my production manager, I only want you to find the most gorgeous pictures of Billie. No more pictures with a glass in the hand or how do you want to be remembered? You know, and so he had to do research. And I always saw this. It's got to take place in the gardenia room, even down to, you see, we put gardenias at all the tables. And because that's what I would feel like, that's where she would want to be.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you want to capture her.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is we do this research, and we find this rare interview, and they ask her, and I kid you not, I didn't know this. They ask her, what's the one thing you want in your life? And guess what it was? It was a nightclub. So I'm like, we are so on point with this.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, that's what writer is. If you could get a chance, since people say I bring it to life on stage, if you could get a chance to just see Billie perform, this is how it would be.
This is how it would be.
At her best.
At her best. Beautiful. Whew. So, album, what can we expect?
Well, what's amazing is this is snowballing so nicely, Brighter Side of Day, that now on some major legendary artist like Stanley Clarke, you know, he's been meeting with Philip Lightfoot, with my husband, about producing, co-producing this project. And it's interesting, Brighter Side of Days is the brighter moments that Billie Holiday lived in, like the music,
right.
Louis Jordan, those are the bright moments of that era. And so that's why it's not just Billie, it's the era. It's Louis Jordan and the Timothy Five, and it's Louis Armstrong, and it's you know, the lifting of that era.
That era, yes.
And so the CD or the EP, the package that we're doing, the compilation, I see jazz legends coming on board to do the Billie Holiday section. Like Stanley Clarke is working on Good Morning Heartache with us.
Okay.
And talking to Chick Corea about doing My Man and You know, we've talked about him inviting Herbie Hancock to do Ain't Nobody's Business If I Do, which I didn't do last night because we don't have enough time in the slot,
yeah.
But we will when it becomes a bigger production.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some of her greatest moments. And people ask me, what about Strange Fruit? You got to do Strange Fruit. I mean, I read somewhere where she hated Strange Fruit, you know. So it's the parallels. Love, I love, 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 then Their Eyes. That to me, you think I'm going to say, what's the best song you like talking about Billie Holiday? People think I'm going to go, God Bless the Child, because she wrote that. But it's,
Them Their Eyes.
She wrote that. But anyway, it's Them Their Eyes. And then what really blows me away is in her voice, when I got the cold reading of the script, in her voice, I'm reading why Them Their Eyes is her favorite song to sing. So it's almost like you can get into it so much when you understand it. And I think where the connection is the musicianship. I love singing Them Their Eyes. It's sexy, it's sassy, it's fun. You know, and yeah, that's a song I would love to sing if I were Billie. That's the favorite song on the show.
Okay. The band. Beautiful band.
Thank you. It's, that's my family.
The horn, band. Like you said, the horn section, everybody. How long you've been together for a while?
For since the Heart Project, like 20 years.
Wow. And how?
Never changing. We're like a family.
Beautiful. Now, how can we reach you or visit you to find out, get updates and everything about Kathy Sledge?
Well, you can reach me through social media anywhere you want, like kathysledge.com, of course, and there is brightersideofday.com.
How beautiful.
In this, which is turning into a tour more every day, we're adding dates
yes.
to key clubs. But we ended at Buckingham Palace, Jazz at the Palace. We're still wrapping up all the loose ends of this particular performance, but that's in December. But between then, we've been adding clubs, you know, like the Metropolitan Room in New York on September the 6th. And so,
I was thinking it'd be in New York September 6th.
New York at the Metropolitan.
Beautiful, beautiful.
We're very excited because.
Is that a bigger club than?
No, I think it's close to the same size.
Okay.
Which is another very interesting parallel because, you know, when I do talk about what I went through with. The drama of the sisters and that I can't walk in my legacy anymore. You know, I am no longer, you know, one of the requests was take yourself off Wikipedia. And if you go to Wikipedia, which is a little, you know.
You're not there anymore?
I'm not there. Well, the way.
Not on the Sister Sledge Wikipedia.
Well, nowhere on the site, but it's as if I've been lifted out of my past, but I'm not.
Right.
But in their mind, I am. And I was asked, one of the requests was to go on social media and take yourself off everywhere as lead singer. But it's almost as if it's saying you were no longer a part of that legacy. And so, the parallel to me is when Billie was stripped of her cabaret license. She was not allowed to work at clubs. And in my case, there was a struggle, of course, of being able to do huge concerts that I was used to because they also won the rights, if you can't say Kathy, from Sister Sledge. And agents, buyers like to say Sister Sledge, that's what you're from.
Right, right.
But because of that, of course, it's made it very hard to do my festivals. But it's okay because God's got another plan.
Right.
And in the meantime, I feel the parallel there.
There is a parallel, yeah.
Billie Holiday wasn't allowed to work in cabarets. And that was her heart of her earnings and her life. She had to go to Europe to tour. And in my case, it's opposite. You know, I was always working in Europe. People didn't know that. But now the sisters are, where I still do mostly private dates. And there are some exciting things going on now. I signed an electronic dance music deal. So we'll talk about that. But in doing some festival dates. So I'll be back as Kathy Sledge with my festivals, which I want anyway.
Right, right.
But it's interesting because there is a parallel there. I know what it's like for someone to try to take away something that you've walked in all your life. I know what that's like.
And it's depth.
And I'm sure that with Billie Holiday, it devastated her that she was not allowed to work in cabarets and clubs. That was her life source. And so I understand that. And there's another, I can reach for that too now. So thank you. It's something else to reach for.
Yes, indeed. Cat, so you, but this has been wonderful. It's really deep, you know, and we love all of you. We love you, yeah. The sisters.
And I love my,
and the beautiful thing is that it's captured in audio recording, so we can still enjoy the songs.
I know, but let me say this too. Here's the good thing. You know, I'm no different. Our family's no different from anyone else. We have madness. We are not immune to the craziness. Do we love each other? Of course.
Yes.
Will it mend? Yes, you know.
Could be a reality show.
Well, I actually...
Because, I mean, when you look at the Braxtons...
Well, you know, I actually had a reality show, The Next Generation.
I couldn't find it.
Well, my sister pulled her two daughters at the last minute. That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
That's what came up. Because I have another one, and I'm very
good,
excited.
Good, good.
I'll tell you that.
Maybe I can get a cameo appearance on it.
You hear about this next one, it's going to give you chills, because it's very close to... coming into fruition, and it gives me goosebumps with the people that may be involved.
Okay,
I'm very excited about it, and you know, it is a way. And in the end, I do believe that, you know, everyone would love to see the sisters back together. I can honestly say, musically, I don't know about that. I do know that
it would take a big check.
It's a family.
They have to get them going. We're coming for that.
I've heard the stories of Michael.
Kathy didn't say that. I said that. So y'all come sue me.
No, but you do hear the stories of Michael and his brothers. You know, mm-hmm. He got back with his brothers.
And they required a big, big mm-hmm. check. And I think Diana Ross and the Supremes. No, yeah. Mary Wilson was mad because she wasn't getting the amount that Diana was getting. So they went on tour without her. Remember years ago?
Yeah, I do remember that. I do know that with any group, and I'd like to leave on this note, are we family? Of course.
Yes.
What I am most proud of is we will always be known for that song that brought everyone together.
And
it's a portrait of us.
Yes.
So, you know, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yes.
We have madness. Yeah. We got to be real about that. Yes.
Every family.
Every family.
All American girls.
You try building a business with your family. Yeah. You know, but it's okay because what it's also done is it's opened up a huge platform to people to understand how to love each other. Especially if you're in a family business, you know. And was there hurt? Was there pain? Yes, we're human,
mm-hmm.
you know. But in the end, God has a plan.
Right.
And I know what I've learned from everything I'm going through is it catapults you to where you're supposed to be, mm-hmm. you know.
begun to get our share of this world's delight. High hopes we have for the future and our goals in sight. We know we don't get depressed. Here's what we call our golden rule.
Have faith in you and the things you do. You won't go wrong.
Oh no, this is our family jewel.
just to survive. You better get this straight. Wise up before it's too late. We're not threatened by your lies or your goodbyes. We're all American girls, and we love the life that we lead. We're all American girls. Hear what we say, know what we mean. Sometimes the struggle gets rough. You give your all, but it's not enough. A vacant job at the top, don't let them tell you that right or not. We're not asking to reverse. Roll so long, rehearse. Give us an equal share.
Be sure to tune in for another exciting and fun-filled episode. You do not want to miss it. Follow me on Instagram at none other than Nigel. Like and subscribe on Facebook. Interested in being a guest on our show? Or have a topic or show idea in mind for me to consider? Just head over to noneotherthannigel.com.